Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." Hello, this is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and I want to thank you for listening in today. This is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, and I want to take just a moment as we get started to invite you, if you do not have a church home, or you are visiting in the area, and we have several visitors throughout the year that will come and be with us. We'd love for you to come and be with us at the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We have Sunday school for all ages, and that includes a college age class. We actually have a couple that is their ministry, Collegians for Christ, and so they're on campus trying to reach out. And then we have the class at church as well. It's called Collegians for Christ, and you can find out more about it at cfcboone.com. It's a great ministry, and we're very thankful to have a part in reaching out to our local college community. But we are here today, and we thank the Lord for the opportunity to be here. We want to welcome all of our listeners. We do appreciate you listening in today. Our listeners here on AM 1450 WATA, those on 690 AM in Bristol, Virginia, and also those on 89.1 FM, The Truth, in Watertown, South Dakota. We appreciate the opportunity. I want to say good morning to Noah. He was running just a few minutes late. Good morning, Noah. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to be here this morning.
Appreciate you. Did you run into traffic or?
Yes, I got caught up on the way over here. But
they're working on the roads all around. I noticed that as I was coming in. But we're thankful that you made it in. Nothing wasn't wrong or anything like that. But we began a study a few weeks ago on the subject of signs of the times, and so that's what we're going to be dealing with today once again, and I'll be in this for several weeks. I hope if you're a regular listener that maybe you can link all these things together in your mind that we've been talking about, because we've covered a lot of ground and we've got a lot more that we hope to be able to cover. There's a lot of things going on in the society round about us in the world. And we might hear people say sometimes, the Bible is being fulfilled before our very eyes. I've heard people say that. I'm sure that I've said that before. Or something will take place, whatever it is, weather, tragedy, the flooding out in Colorado, or the government situation, or violence in our society. Any number of things can happen, and somebody will say, well, whatever that is, just fill in the blank, they'll say that's just a sign of the times. Now, I do not disagree with saying that, but I asked the question, and somebody who didn't know the Bible, maybe unfamiliar with what you're talking about, you know, they might say, what are you talking about specifically? What does that mean, the Bible is being fulfilled before our very eyes? I'm the type of person, I like to have specifics. What specifically are we talking about when we're talking about signs of the time? So that's sort of the line of thought that we've been dealing with the past few weeks. So far, we have talked about America. A lot of people ask about, well, do you find America in the Bible? And we could spend a lot of time dealing with that subject, nations in the Bible, what the Bible says about different nations. We've talked about Israel. Now, whether or not you find America in the Bible is always going to be up for debate, but you certainly find the nation of Israel. In fact, the nation of Israel, I would say, is the number one indicator that we're living in the last of the last days. The fact that the nation of Israel was birthed again in May of 1948, that is a huge sign of the times. And you'll never understand the Bible or prophecy without understanding how important it is that the nation of Israel is back in the land. recognized by the other nations. The nation of Israel will be in the news tomorrow. There's news in every nation of the world, but the whole world is interested in what Israel does, says, their policy, I mean, on and on. The nation of Israel is huge when we're talking about the subject of prophecy. And then last week we talked about Daniel chapter number 12. There's a prophecy over there, Daniel 12, verses 4 through 9. And it talks about the characteristics of the last days. Several things we pointed out. It says that in the last days many shall run to and fro. That characterizes the last days, and that is happening all round about us. Running. You can be halfway around the world tomorrow if you couldn't catch a flight. So many shall run to and fro. The prophecy over there is characterizing the last days. He told Daniel to seal up the book until the time of the end. How are we going to know when the time of the end gets here? Many shall run to and fro. Travel is going to increase. Number two, he said, and knowledge shall increase. And knowledge definitely has increased. And we looked at several different things last week. We could look at medical, we could look at travel, we could look at technology, we could look at electronics, and spiritual knowledge as well. Knowledge shall be increased in the time of the end, and that prophetic book is going to be unsealed. The key to understanding prophecy. Now, what really influenced me to begin this study, I was studying for something else, and I've got an old book at my house. I've had it for probably 20 plus years, and I reference it quite often, sometimes more than others. But the name of this book is Dispensational Truth by Clarence Larkin. Many of our listeners, maybe you have seen it, maybe you have it in your library. But the book Dispensational Truth by Clarence Larkin, it is covering mainly the subject of prophecy through the ages. And Mr. Larkin's book was copyrighted in 1918. Almost 100 years ago, Mr. Larkin wrote this book about Bible prophecy. Now, the last chapter of that book is called The Signs of the Times. It's chapter number 34, and it's called The Signs of the Times. And this is what really got me interested in doing an in-depth study of the signs of the times. He gives 10 signs of the times, and it just covers about 2.25 pages in this book. There's almost 200 pages in the book. But let me read just a little bit from this, what Mr. Larkin said about the signs of the times. He said this: while we cannot name the exact date of the Lord's return, its nearness may be known by the character of the times. Now, let me say, if you find somebody that gives a date for the Lord's return, you can mark it down on your calendar that that will not be the day that the Lord is going to return. Many, many people have tried to put a date on the Lord's return. I remember when I was in the Air Force and living in the country of England. I went over there in 1987 to 1991, and during that time there was a scientist from NASA. Maybe he was retired by that time, and I cannot remember his name. But he wrote a book, and the name of that book was 88 Reasons Why Jesus is going to Come in 1988. And I remember there being a stir about that. He gave the exact date the Lord was going to come back, the tribulation was going to start. I mean, all of these dates. Well, you know what? The date has gone by a long time ago now, and the Lord has not returned. Harold Camping last year, maybe even year before that, he gave this date, and boy, it was on the news and everything. He said the rapture is going to happen on such and such a day in May. It did not take place. Then, instead of just saying, hey, I'm wrong, the Bible says no man knows the day nor the hour. That's what the Bible says. He said, well, I missed it. It's going to be October. Well, that date came and went, and the Lord did not return. So if somebody says this is going to be the day, you can mark her down, that will not be the day. And Mr. Larkin tells it right. He says, while we cannot name the exact date of the Lord's return, its nearness may be known by the character of the times. And so the character of the times, and since this is copyrighted 1918, you think about how much the character of the times has changed since the early 1900s. We've went from walking or riding a beast to riding trains, to riding cars, to riding airplanes. You think about people that are not in their 80s and 90s and 100s, how much they have seen change the character of the times in the last 100 years. Now, he goes on in the second paragraph, and this is very interesting. He said, the unsealing. Now, he's talking about where it says over in Daniel chapter number 12, seal the book until the time of the end. And then it goes on and says, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. But that's what he's referring to. And he says the unsealing began about 100 years ago when the midnight cry, behold, the bridegroom cometh, was heard in the revival of premillennial truth. And so the unsealing began about 100 years ago as a result of the revival of premillennial truth. Now, I'm a student of church history. I love it. I teach church history over at Victory Bible Institute, and I love to study history. Some of you that listen, you know I really enjoy history. Historically, what he is saying is correct there. What he's talking about is about the beginning of the 1800s, late 1700s, early 1800s. In church history, you have a revival of what is called premillennial truth. Now, premillennial truth is not something that is new and never heard of before, but it is a revival of the same doctrine that the Apostle Paul believed in when he walked upon the earth, when he wrote the New Testament. Paul, we could correctly say, was a premillennialist. Now, that's a big word. What in the world does that mean? I don't want to lose anybody by using some of these words, but if we're going to understand history and what's going on, we need to understand what premillennial church or Bible doctrine means. Paul wrote this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. He said, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, meaning people who had died, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, that word means go before, shall not prevent them which are asleep, those that have died in the Lord. Verse 16, he describes what's going to happen. He said, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. What Paul is describing there is what is today commonly called the rapture of the church. The Apostle Paul believed and taught that Jesus Christ could come at any moment, that his return was imminent. But Christians down through the centuries did not always see it that way. They didn't always believe it or comprehend that great premillennial truth of the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it is very, very common today that Christians believe and talk about the rapture of the church, the coming of the Lord, the signs of the times. And so that's what Mr. Larkin is talking about, this revival of pre-millennial truth. He goes on down and he says, "Let us take a hasty glance at the signs of the times. A careful study of the chart will reveal 10 signs." And as I read this, it's been a couple of months ago now, I guess, I thought to myself, now, if Mr. Larkin was teaching the truth from the Bible, then what he said 100 years ago would either be 100% correct when he talks about the specific 10 signs of the times, or it would be so far off that it's laughable. I mean, you think about this. This is written 100 years ago, over 100 years ago. And so what he's written, and he talks about these last days are going to be characterized by these 10 signs of the times. If he is speaking the truth, it's either going to be spot on or it's going to be so far off, like many false prophecies or false prophecy is. It's going to be so far off that it's laughable. We're not going to get into the realm of the false, although we could, but we're not going to deal with that in this study that we're doing. So number one, what does he say these signs of the times are going to be? We're 100 years down the road. It's either going to be right or it's going to be wrong. Well, number one, he says these signs of the times, number one, there will be post-millennial scoffers. Now, I need to turn over to 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verses 3 through 4. And we'll talk just a little bit about pre-millennial and post-millennial, what that means. But he says signs of the times, and he gives a verse of scripture, there's going to be post-millennial scoffers. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. The Bible says, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts." So Peter is talking about what is going to characterize the last days. "There shall come scoffers walking after their own lust and saying," this is what they're going to be saying, "where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." Now, Mr. Larkin says this about that. He says, "How true this is of the present day. The doctrine of the second coming is scoffed at, and those who hold it are looked upon as deluded fanatics, and sad to say, this opposition comes from prominent religious leaders of the day." Now, that's the end of Mr. Larkin's comments about post-millennial scoffers. But I want to say this, just going a little bit further about that. What does that mean? Now, many of our listeners locally, will remember Pastor Carl Wilson. Preacher Carl, that's what we called him, Preacher Carl. He pastored in this area, Watauga County and the surrounding regions, and even over into Tennessee. Very influential in this area. For over 60 years, he pastored, preached, held revivals. I am sure that a lot of our listeners remember, know Preacher Carl, were saved under his ministry, went to churches where he pastored at. Very, very influential in this area. For many of us, myself, he was my pastor for several years, and just a modern-day hero of the faith. And so, we remember the ministry of Preacher Carl Wilson. The last time that I visited with him before he passed away, we were sitting in his living room, and he was telling me about his experiences as a young preacher. When he started preaching, he began to preach about and comprehend, and he understood the teaching in the Bible about the rapture of the church and the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Carl was a pre-millennialist. most of the people in our area churches would say that without a doubt. That's what we believe. You may not know that's what you are, but you are a premillennialist if you believe in the imminent return of Christ, that he could come at any moment, and the rapture of the church. Well, Brother Carl preached that doctrine, but most of the older preachers at that time were post-millennialist. They didn't believe what Brother Carl was preaching. Brother Carl told me that some of the older preachers, when he would go and preach in churches, that they would literally turn their backs on him in their seats because they did not believe what he was preaching about the coming of the Lord. And I asked him about that. I said, "You mean they would literally," he said, "they would twist around in their seats and turn their back upon him." Now, you talk about being hard to preach, going somewhere and the older preacher, probably the pastor of that church, or maybe a revival, turning their back on you while you're preaching. Well, you talk about being rough. That would be rough. But the premillennialist, let me just separate these two out for you as simply as I can. The premillennialist believes that the world will get worse and worse. The Bible says in 2 Timothy, "This know also, that in the last days," it talks about teachers and scoffers, "it shall wax worse and worse." Well, we see the world today is getting worse and worse on every hand. The premillennialist believes, like Paul, that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come in the rapture. The rapture is going to be the taking away of God's saved, redeemed people to be snatched away. That's what that word rapture means, and taken to heaven. The unbelievers will be left upon the earth, and there will be a 7-year tribulation upon the earth. After that 7-year tribulation will be the physical return, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth. This is described in Revelation chapter number 19. Then there will be a 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. And so that's where the millennial, the word millennial means 1,000. We're talking about 1,000 years. So pre-millennialist believes the Lord will come before the millennium. Post-millennialist do not believe that. Post-millennialist, years ago, we're talking over 100 years ago, and even further back than that, before the revival of premillennial doctrine, they believe the world would get better and better, and most everyone would eventually be saved. And this Christianizing of the world would usher in a kingdom age, or a 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. And then at the end of that would be judgment day, and the Lord would separate the sheep from the goats, the right hand and the left hand. Today, a post-millennialist, somebody that really believes that, is very hard to find, because most people agree the world's not getting better, it's getting worse. But see, when Christians really believe that, it was during the times of the great revivals, and boy, people were, churches, missions, the great revivals, I mean, it did. It would have looked like that the world was just, that everybody was going to become a Christian. Well, that's not how it happened. You have the Civil War. You have World War I, World War II. It didn't take long for people to say, hey, things aren't getting better. Things are definitely getting worse. So a post-millennialist is actually a rare person to find that believes that. But scoffers, people who would scoff at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, well, they are everywhere. And Peter talked about in the last days, scoffers were going to come, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. I have heard people say this before when you talked about the coming of the Lord, or you say something about signs of the times, I've heard many people say this over the years. They'll say, I've heard that all my life. I've heard that since I was a little child. What they're doing, they're saying, like it says in verse 4, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were. They're saying, I've heard that, and the Lord's not come yet. I don't know if I believe that or not. But this they are saying ignorantly, because things are not continuing as they were since the beginning of the creation. Things in the world are changing very, very rapidly all around the world. And so scoffers, there are many, many scoffers. I see our time is quickly going to get gone today. But there are many scoffers when it comes to talking, when it comes to talking about the coming of the Lord. Can you imagine the scoffing and the ridicule that, say, for example, a politician or an actor or an athlete, somebody that is continually in the public eye, the scoffing that they would endure if they came out and believingly talked about the Lord's return? Maybe a senator, maybe an athlete that everybody knows, it's been made known that they're a Christian. If they came out and they talked in a public forum about, you know, I believe this is a sign of the times, and I believe that Jesus could come at any moment. In fact, he may come before the end of the day. Why, if a senator did that, or the president, I don't think the president is going to talk about that, but a senator that claims to be a Christian, it would be all over the headlines. It'd be in the newspapers the next day. Senator so-and-so, his fanatical belief of the return of Jesus Christ. And if they came out and really talked about this as if they believed it. There are several professing believers among up in Washington, senators, congressmen, governors across the United States, state senators, state congressmen. There are many, many professing believers among these people, even among actors, even among athletes. These are people, I mention this because these are people that people in the world look up to, and they take stock in things that they say. Or somebody in the business world, a big CEO of a company somewhere, multi-million-dollar businessman, if they came out, although there are many of these people in America, that's what I'm going to use for an example, but who among them talks about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? They don't. And the reason that they don't, I believe, is because they know they would be scoffed at, they would be ridiculed, they would be talked about. Preachers talk about this, Christians talk about this, and so, but by and large, there's a great scoffing about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? The Bible said that in the last days, men will scoff at the return of Christ, saying, I've heard this all my life. Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. But things are not the same. Well, we hope and pray that you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, that you've called upon him, that you know that he lives in you, and you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, thank you for listening. And Noah's going to come give the contact information, and we'd love to hear from you. Thanks again. Have a great day, and God bless.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church that's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.